crime prevention expert, retired Fairfield Police Lieutenant Jim Perez, with Crime on the Mind. Exclusively on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Recently, we highlighted actually in our news here on WICC, but also it was in some publications in Westport, the fact that it was law enforcement as well as Parks and Recreation and even the superintendent of schools deciding to crack down on dog walkers, even gardeners, and really any other visitors being on school properties during school hours. Now, this has been somewhat controversial, especially for residents who feel like this is kind of going a little too far, but from a law enforcement perspective, this might be a really great thing for other municipalities to consider in cutting down on security risks at our schools. And somebody who understands this very well is Jim Perez of Crime on the Mind, and he's going to tell us why he understands this and what he had to do when he was lieutenant at the Fairfield Police Department. So, Jim, welcome back. I'm glad we're talking about this.
Welcome. It's a very well, it could be a controversial topic. It should not be. It should be common sense, and it should be with the kids' safety in mind. And people need to understand that, you know, after Sandy Hook, that was incredibly mentally, emotionally, very scarring for our entire state. And shortly after Sandy Hook, I was tasked with coming up with a comprehensive security program for all 27 public and private schools in Fairfield. Now, we had never done that before where we had the police directly involved with the schools other than the SRO program, which were just targeted for high schools. This was comprehensive, and it involved three steps, really, or three different phases. One was I did a terrorism risk assessment for all the facilities. So all 27 campuses received a terror risk assessment, which in essence meant that we walked through the entire property and we highlighted vulnerabilities and even good things that the schools were doing. So that was just the first phase. The second phase was staff training, and I trained basically every staff member in the school system, which was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, in active shooter and things like that. The third phase, and the most important one, was the fact that we realized even back then when we started undertaking this whole thing, and I was helped in doing the actual physical assessments by a sergeant who is now retired, Sue Lucier, who helped me do the actual PowerPoints and all those things, but for the presentation's sake. But one of the things that was the most important part was the third phase. We realized that during the day, the schools deal with, you know, irate parents and troubled kids and things like that. And then at night and weekends, we as the police department, we deal with them as well. The problem was the police department and the schools at the time, or the Board of Ed, wasn't connected. We weren't really sharing information. We weren't really, you know, HIPAA was becoming a problem, this and that. So we figured out through FERPA, which is like, you know, federal law, that gives the, you know, that tells you when you can share information with students or not. It was that once we got past that, we created a great relationship. And to this day, Fairfield Police anyway has an entire, we have an entire police unit with a supervisor whose responsibility is just to all the schools. But the reason why I say all this is because that's how important security is in the schools. And after Sandy Hook and after Columbine and after Virginia Tech and all these major school violence incidents that took place across the country, something has to change, right? So you know what has to change? The culture.
Right.
The culture has to change, which means that the days of coming into school by yourself whenever you wanted to, unannounced, to have lunch with your kids is basically over.
Well, and I was going to say, Jim, not to cut you off, but, you know, you were talking about, I don't know why this would be controversial. I agree with you. My understanding is why Westport residents are a little taken aback by this. And this is where I would love to get your take on this. They're a little taken aback Because we're talking about Sandy Hook was over 10 years ago. And so when you look at now, we're telling dog walkers, for example, you can't walk on our properties when the school hours are going on, when kids are in school. Gardeners, even though there is a community garden, for example, at I think one of the elementary schools in town, you can't go there and garden. You just can't do it. You're not allowed to anymore. If you're just going out and about and you want to walk up and down the air, you can't do it. Can't do it. So here's why they're upset. Why now? And I think this is where it falls on municipalities, because it can be a bit confusing, Jim Perez. I'm curious why every school district, especially after what happened at Sandy Hook, why wouldn't they take the approach of, I'm sorry, you're not walking on campus. You can't be around here because we need to cut down on our security risks. Wasn't there just a situation in Fairfield County, I believe, where there or it was somewhere in Connecticut. It was in our news a couple weeks ago where somebody was walking on the campus and came into the building, but was, I think, a parent or a friend of a, I don't know. And I mean, it was a whole lockdown situation. We don't know who this is. It was a whole thing. And it's like, because there are no rules in place telling people if it's during school hours, you can't walk here. I don't know how that has not been required at every single school, at least in Connecticut after Sandy Hook. That seems like a no-brainer.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't allow anybody past the main office.
Right.
So. Listen, when you have what I meant by culture, changing the culture is this, that Columbine, if you remember Columbine, now what I'm about to describe is not Hamas or ISIS or any terrorist organization internationally or even domestic terrorism. What I'm about to describe to you is incredible. In Columbine, what people don't understand was that there were IEDs or improvised explosive devices that were placed throughout the schools by these students. After the initial killings and everything settled down and everybody was able to kind of get in and investigate, you know how many IEDs or improvised explosive devices they found?
I know it was a lot because you had told me, but I don't remember offhand.
Yeah, the schools, in the cars, at their homes, 76. 76
kids.
Bombs.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, you would think this was by a small army. These were two high school kids. So the bottom line is this, and people need to understand this, and people and the residents of Westport need to understand this. The law is not on your side. So we have laws in place right now, and actually the Connecticut legislature, they've always acted to safeguard children by protecting school zones and things like that. So we have a statute, 53A185, which is loitering on school grounds without a legitimate purpose to be there. That alone you can be charged with. So if people are surprised about how we're trying to safeguard schools, they should really start looking at the law, because the law clearly indicates that they're not supposed to be there. Unless you have a legitimate right to be there, you're not supposed to be there. So if you're a parent who's picking up a child, or you're a neighbor who you've given the neighbor permission to pick up your child, that's one thing. But if you're, let's say, a divorced parent where you've been stripped of your rights and you decide to go to the school and walk around or go into the front door or even go on the property, that's illegal. You can be arrested for that.
Fan favorite Jim Perez is here for Crime on the Mind. And we're talking about a decision that Westport made actually earlier this year. You heard it in our news and we're reiterating it this morning because another article came out, and law enforcement, the superintendent of schools, even Parks and Rec, they are holding the line saying, listen, if you want to walk on our properties, you want to be a dog walker, you want to just get out and about, you want to garden, whatever the case may be, you can't do it at our public schools anytime during school hours. And Jim Perez was just highlighting why this is something every school district should be putting in place, and also why now. And so, Jim, I think that's sort of the thing that I would love for you to kind of end on. If we have teachers, administrators, even parents who live in a district where it is okay for you to just walk around. I mean, I live in a district where that is okay. You can walk around the properties. You can bring your kids to the playground while school is in session. I mean, it's a little extraordinary that we would even allow this at this time. But what would be your message to, like I said, to somebody who either has a kid in a district where you're okay to walk around, no problem here, or maybe you're a school teacher and you're like, listen, I don't feel safe as it is doing my job. I'd really love for my district to step up and put something like this in place.
Here's the thing. If you allow people to just walk around the schools during school hours, right, because it's a public building, so in the evening time, you know, almost you have to allow people to go through, whether it's for recreational, you know, things or whatever, or meetings. But here's the bottom line. During school, no one should be allowed, because what happens is that becomes the norm, which means that someone with bad intent can walk around the grounds and nobody will bat an eye, because that's the norm. That's how it is. That's why I said, if it was up to me, nobody would be allowed during school hours past the main office. You want your child, we'll come and get them and bring them to you, because it changes the climate and the culture inside the building. So if every day, day in and day out, the teachers only see teachers and students only see students and teachers and things like that, when someone who doesn't belong comes there, they're going to stand out like a sore thumb. And it's likewise, let's look at it the way police does. So when we take an issue, let's say a building, we have what's called the inner perimeter and the outer perimeter. The inner perimeter are the officers that are going to go in and take care of business. The outer perimeter are the officers that are going to stand by to make sure nobody comes in, nobody comes out. You got to look at schools the same way, concentrically like a circle. Security should be layered. And so when you have the inside of the building, or I like to call the envelope of the building, which is right at the front door, that's one layer of security. But then the outer perimeter, which includes the grounds and the property, that's another layer of security. And no one should be allowed during school hours to occupy those areas. And people need to understand what security is. Most people in town don't understand what security is, and so they're going to about it because they think that it's like a normal, you know, you're refusing me the right, I pay taxes. Well, the reality is that the town and Parks and Recs and DPW and the police department have a responsibility to safeguard everyone, because they're not the ones that are going to get sued, the individual. It's the town or the police department. And we all know that there are entities that would love to go after these towns because of the deep pockets, supposedly. So the bottom line is, we have a responsibility to safeguard children. It doesn't mean that you safeguard them just in the building. All these school shooters were able to drive into the property freely. So that's okay? No, it's not okay. The outside needs to be protected just as much as the inside, and no one should be allowed, so that you change the climate so that if someone suspicious does show up, they're going to stand out like a sore thumb and the police will be called right away.
Right.
That's why we do it.
Right.
And by the way, there are laws against this. So you could be charged with breach of peace. You could be charged with loitering on school grounds. These are all laws that are on the books right now that the state would gladly love to support.
Yeah, I mean, and it is interesting, Jim, when you think about even some school districts, like I know they have a track that is open to the public, but I always found it very bizarre when people are having, you know, like not track meets so much, but like practices, after school practices, and people in the public are using that track. I think to myself, like, I understand that a lot of the times, again, it's a public school and your tax dollars are going towards it, and so you should be able to utilize it. But when you're talking about peace of mind for these kids and for school administrators and coaches and what their climate has been in the last not even 20 years, I just would think that there'd be a mutual understanding. And yeah, maybe it's inconvenient to you, but at the end of the day, I mean, what we could do to better cut down on these security risks and to make people feel more comfortable dropping their kids off at school and leaving them there for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, I think we would all be on the same page. So I appreciate you outlining that.
Yeah, I just want to be clear about one thing, and I want people to understand this. The bad guy loves to surveil. And the closer they can get to the target, the easier it's going to be for them. And they could sit there and they could figure out when the doors are open, when the kids go out for break, when the kids go back in for recess, when they have fire drills. And they can study these patterns. And the only way they can do that is by getting on the school grounds. So I applaud Westport. I think they're doing a great thing. I think they need to go further. And I think that all districts in Connecticut should be the exact same way, at least during school hours.
Yeah, it's a great point. Jim, I'm so glad that we highlighted this for Crime on the Mind, and I know we'll talk again next week about our next topic, so thank you.
Sure, have a great week.
Thank you, you too. Jim Perez of Crime on the Mind on WACC.